Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
And we're live right here in Houston, Texas. No matter where you are, though, welcome in to Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. I am your host extraordinaire, Cole Thompson. We got Michael Hernandez producing on the other side of the glass, but more importantly, we had a great dang show for you today. We have, of course, Thursday Night Football coming up. Some college football conversation. Is Aaron Rodgers unraveling in front of our eyes? And are the Pittsburgh Steelers in a lot of trouble now that they do not have Ben Roethlisberger potentially for a certain amount of weeks? But I started today's show off with this. Is there ever just like a TV show that you always want to go back to for the classics? I've had a long week, people. I really have. I finished both Lucifer, which has been one of my favorite TV shows for the last 6-7 years, and I finished Brooklyn Nine-Nine. For the last 8 years, that thing has played a major part in my life. I basically watched it like all you probably watched The Office. I can quote everything from it because it's cool, 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 cool. Anybody who knows the show understands that reference. But I'm sad, and I'm trying to find a new TV show. And I realized, why do I need a new TV show when I could just always go back and watch the classics? And being on this wonderful schedule that I am, I get to watch my all-time favorite TV show basically every single morning. And Michael gets to see it too, because it's the great TV show South Park. I don't know who needs to hear this, but anybody who is still offended by South Park needs to grow up. I'm sorry. The fact that they are willing to make fun of every single person in America and not give two fadoodles after is automatically one of the funniest things about the dang show. From Stan, Kenny, Kyle, and Eric, better known as Cartman, the four boys have been there for me in times of trouble ever since I was a little kid. By the way, this is a real story. My grandmother, God rest in peace, let me watch South Park when I was 7 years old in Indiana. And that was probably part of the reason why I have such a colorful language today. But of course, we all have those TV shows, the cult classics to go back to. The ones that you need for comfort. The ones that teach you life lessons. The ones that teach you about daily struggles and help you get through a mundane afternoon. I guess mine's South Park. And I'm never going to stop watching it. It's that great of a show. And so one of my favorites of all time.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
So to start off, obviously everyone's going to be talking about the quarterback situation. Andy is still battling through his injury. Like I said to you the other day, we're glad that it's not his ACL. We're not expecting him to practice today. Or to have him available this week, so he'll be week to week. Justin's going to be our starter, and his prep starts, starts right now. And get out there and have a good week of practice and see where that goes. But I know he's looking forward to it, and Andy's been great. He's been extremely supportive, and this is a part of the business. And so now it's a great opportunity for Justin and for all of us as a staff to be able to take this thing and see where he goes with this.
Well, we all knew it was coming. At some point, we knew it was coming. Didn't know the exact date, didn't know the exact time, but the Justin Fields era has officially begun.
You were close. You said week four.
I did say week four. And honestly, I do think that if Andy Dalton had a bad game this week, it would have been next week. It 100% would have been next week, because as much as I like the Detroit Lions, and I may be like the only national show in America that actually gives somewhat praise to Detroit, maybe that's because of I am a super freak when it comes to like caffeine intakes and stuff like that, and I like biting off ankles like Dan Campbell, but that's a whole different story, and that's a whole thing that my therapist, whenever I actually end up going to one, needing one in 15 years because of I stand in front of a microphone and talk into a wall for 2 hours a day, maybe at that point that would be a problem for her. But what isn't a problem is the fact that the Chicago Bears understand
that they have needed a franchise quarterback. And I'll give them a lot of credit. I'll give Ryan Pace some credit. I'll give Matt Nagy a little bit of credit. They've had options. I'll give the Bears organization as a whole. They've had options. Nobody's just taken that big step. Jay Cutler is a good quarterback, never a great quarterback. Never could win the big games. But he was a stable quarterback. He took them all the way to the NFC Championship, one game away from going to the Super Bowl. He's good. Just good enough, though. Wasn't great. McMahon in the 1980s was a good quarterback. He had the cool swagger. He wore the sunglasses. He had the over-the-top fade. He was a good player, but he was never a franchise quarterback. You added Mitchell Trubisky, who does walk away with a 500-plus record as a starting quarterback, but he just wasn't the guy. Justin Fields at least feels and acts, and based off what you've seen on paper, looks like the guy. And that's ultimately what you want, is somebody to be the guy for you this season. Now, is Justin Fields in for the long haul? That's going to be interesting. Because, again, this is kind of a win-win situation if you're Matt Nagy. But you also have to be willing to accept the reality of, bro, you can't keep undermining and underselling yourself. Every step along the way, what have people said? Hey, who do you want, Andy Dalton or Justin Fields? Justin Fields. All right, we're going to go Andy Dalton. Hey, every single day, what do you think? Is number one and number 14 doing better? Number 14 is doing better. But number one just scored two touchdowns. Yeah, but number 14 is doing better. It's every single day. I've said on the show multiple times, continue to say it, Andy Dalton doesn't lose you games, he doesn't get you wins. I don't know what Justin Fields does. And isn't that kind of a beautiful mystery? Isn't that kind of, as Aaron Rodgers puts it, a beautiful mystery? To not know where this team is, I consider that kind of a good thing. Because if I'm just not guessing, I'm taking a shot. But what's interesting is, even though Justin Fields has won the starting job, it feels like this is a rental option. You know, like when, okay, Michael, you know what, like when you go trade in your car and you have to go use a rental car for a couple days while your car's in the shop? It feels like that. Like, you like it. You like, and the rental car they give you is really, really nice. Like, they give you a top dollar, usually, rental car. It's not a bad one. But then you realize you got to go back to the other one because that's what you're paying for. It feels like a little bit in that situation.
They're teasing you.
They're 100% teasing you. But what I'm saying is that they want you to go with the newer version all the time. But you realize you put all this money into the older version. You just pay top dollar to get the older version fixed. You know, you put in all this time. You're going to go with the older version. You just are. It's the same thing with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's there on a one-year deal worth $10 million. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to let you sit on the bench, man. You're just not sitting on the bench. We're going to start you. It just feels like that's the same thing, whether Justin Fields is good or not. And if you don't believe me, this was the very first question asked at yesterday's press conference after the announcement that Justin Fields would be the starter.
When Andy is healthy, he's our starter. And then I go back to, for Justin. Justin's worrying about right now, and Justin's worried about trying to help us beat Cleveland. I've talked about it this entire time that we're not going to get into that what-if game. We do want to see who's, you know, like when Justin's out here and what he's been doing in practice as a look team, trying to be the best quarterback he can be. That's all we want right now. That's all Andy and Justin want, is to be the best they can be. And then when that time comes, there's a lot of stuff that can happen between now and then. So I don't really want to go there other than just saying that when Andy is healthy, he's our starter.
So again, you're self-sabotaging yourself. Justin Fields right now is going into a game where the Cleveland Browns do not have wide receivers, or at least proven wide receivers. You want to know what the Chicago Bears don't have? They have Allen Robinson and not a lot of proven wide receivers. I still think that even though people are saying, oh, you know, the Cleveland Browns are a good team, because I believe in the Cleveland Browns. I've been on the show. I've given them credit. Yesterday I said that I believe they're still an AFC contender. I still believe the Bears can actually win this game because of their defense is good enough to make marquee stops, especially with guys like Khalil Mack as a pass rusher, Akeem Hicks up the middle, and Roquan Smith at the do-it-all linebacker spot. They're good enough to make those key stops, but at the same time, they're very balanced on offense as well. But what's the point if you're Justin Fields trying to win the starting job if you hear that? I mean, don't get me wrong. I know for a fact he's going to come out and he's going to go and say, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to prove why I am QB1. Like everyone knows that. But when you don't get that boost of confidence from your coach, what does that more so say about the team's psyche? Justin Fields is the new model. Justin Fields is the hot car that you want to spend money on that you get when you have to turn the old one into the shop. And then you realize Andy Dalton is your car. And if you're going to go die on that hill and you're going to go die down and you know understand that when Andy Dalton comes back, he's going to be your starter. Even if Justin Fields, say, throws for 475 yards in two games, five touchdowns, no interceptions, has a QBR rating of over 95, has a passer rating of over 115, and you're going to go down the ship with Andy Dalton? Well, to me, that's just two things. One, you already know that you're going to get fired, so you might as well just go out in a blaze of glory. And number two, finding a head coaching job is going to be very hard for you, Matt Nagy, down the line. I wish Justin Fields all the best. Everyone, I think, in their mother believes he is the best option for the Bears to win. And now that he's had two games to kind of learn and play a little bit under his belt, Cleveland is no longer scary. San Francisco is no longer scary. Green Bay, the way that they're playing, is no longer scary. And Detroit certainly is no longer scary. But again, what is scary is how little your coach continues to believe in you and undermine you. That, to me, is more scary. And that is basically the nail in the coffin if I am at Nagy. If I'm Bears fans and I have not given up on him yet, if he goes back to Andy Dalton and Justin Fields is playing great, he did this to himself. He 100% did this to himself. And at that point, the McCluskey family needs to step in and go, oh, yeah, so Andy's QB1? Well, you're HC0 because you no longer work for us. You are no longer employed. So the Pittsburgh Steelers, interesting team, very interesting team. A lot of people said because of their veteranship, because of how they're built, they would likely be picking, they'd likely be about a 9-8 team, 10-7 team, an 8-9 team, right in that range. Definitely not the favorites to win the AFC North, but that veteranship with a good defense and a quarterback who has been in the league for 18 years in Ben Roethlisberger. The fact that you have that on your team gives you a boost of confidence. It gives you an extra level. It makes you feel better. It makes you feel stronger. But what happens when you don't have Big Ben? What happens when Big Ben misses time? According to reports, and Mike Tomlin said this yesterday, he now is dealing with a pec injury. And the status of how long that pec injury could be around is a big question.
Ben has a pec injury of some kind on his left pec that could affect him from a preparation standpoint. Don't have a idea how much as I sit here right now, but we better be ready to be adjustable and deal with that.
Adjustable? You want to be adjustable in this? Guys, it's pretty simple. Your offense is already inept enough because you have poor offensive line play. What is adjusting in this sense? You mean it's you trying to go, you want to work with Mason Rudolph? With Dwayne Haskins? With Joshua Dobbs in the practice? I mean, like, what is the answer? Because I can tell you right now, part of the reason why people are not believing in you completely is not just because of a bad offensive line or because the wide receivers are all number twos and you don't have a number one in the limited run game. It's because of you don't have a good enough backup. And we all know right now, for the last year and a half, at least, Ben Roethlisberger has not been the same quarterback. Even before his injury to his elbow, he has not been the same quarterback. He's been limited as a passer. And don't get me wrong, he'll put up a ton of yards, but they're all dump passes. These aren't the Big Ben. Why was he called Big Ben? Because he was big in the pocket and he was able to make big-time throws. Are we going to call him Little Benjamin now because of all he's doing is making little dump passes? Just the whoop, whoop, 6.3 yards, whoop. That's my deep shot. Just a little dump it off. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Yeah, come on, Little Ben. Come on, Little Benjamin. Let's go. Little Benny, time to come with us. At the end of the day, Pittsburgh is already a team that's struggling because they do not have an offensive identity right now. They don't know how to run the ball. They don't have a good offensive line. And even though that Ben Roethlisberger is playing mediocre, his veteran leadership alone gives you a little bit of a burst of an advantage. I don't know if you have that anymore. I don't know if you have that to where your team can function long enough. They play Cincinnati this weekend, a Cincinnati team that's playing pissed off and trying to be there for Joe Burrow to prove that he is the franchise guy. Their secondary is good, but it's not great. It is the weak part of their defense, and the strong part of Cincinnati is their passing attack. Honestly, if you are a betting man, and we'll talk about this tomorrow on Best Bets, this may be the bet for you. No Ben Roethlisberger means absolutely no victory for Pittsburgh. And it could be a very, very, very long season for the Steel City franchise if he does not come back for an extended period of time. They're called the Steel Curtain for a reason, and his curtain call has arrived. Expect this to be the final year, whether he finishes it out or not. Speaking of finishing things out, what are some things that I am looking forward to in tonight's game? We'll talk about that next on the other side of the break.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
When you need your auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up your parts for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Heck, they'll even bring it out to your curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door, and most times with free shipping on orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts and visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day. So I don't want to say something is happening when I don't know for sure. And I don't want to say someone's going insane when I don't know for sure. There's signs. I'll give you a clue right now. 800-224-2004. Tell me if you think this is insane. I wake up every morning at 3 a.m. and basically go talk to a microphone at a wall. And you, and hopefully you are listening. But I definitely am talking to a wall. 10 out of 10. After a while, you think that's not going to go make me a little insane? Just literally talking to a wall, talking to Michael. Michael, I mean, you're not a wall, buddy, but just talking to you every morning, two straight hours, or right at this wall, hoping for a response. Answer me! Hello? You there? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Is that the wall? Is that the wall? Yes, Mr. Wall. What are you looking for, Mr. Wall? My point is that when you do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and you expect different results, that's the different definition of insanity. The other definition of insanity is kind of what I've taken away from the great movie The Dark Knight. Harvey Dent says one of the best lines probably in cinematic history. You either die a hero or you see yourself live long enough to become the villain. Is Aaron Rodgers now the villain? I mean, don't get me wrong. Bears fans will always say, he is a villain. Vikings fans will always say, oh, he is a villain. You know for a fact, Lions fans will say, oh, God, help us from the villain. He kicks our butt every single year. Help us, man. You know that they're going to say that. But when you look at the history of Aaron Rodgers and what he's done and how he's been and how he acts around the media and how he acts around people, he's always been the nice guy. He's always been able to, you know, carry a tune, be able to have a happy conversation. And then last week, after losing and only putting up 3 points to the New Orleans Saints, working his keister off to only have the worst passer rating in the NFL after week one, the worst QBR rating in the NFL after week one, 2 interceptions, and to prove to everybody that the last dance against the New Orleans Saints was a big deal. They were going to be able to walk into the season. They were going to be able to walk away, be the best team because they realized this was the last year. People started to comment about him. People started to say, oh, you know, maybe Aaron's lost a step. Oh, maybe Aaron not working out this offseason was a bigger deal. Maybe Aaron's BS is the reason why this team is 0-1. And then he goes out and he has a good game. He has 4 touchdowns against the likes of the Detroit Lions. And there's no denying that that's a very impressive stat. On top of nearly throwing for 300 yards. But then he goes on the Pat McAfee show. And I love Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee is one of my favorite people in this industry right now. Because if he's witty, he's funny, and he knows how to get great guests on. And Aaron Rodgers is always a great get. But because if he has one bad game at age 38, and the entire offseason was basically based around him, people are no longer allowed to have an opinion on him. Here's what he had to say.
I think all these people who are on these shows now believe they're celebrities and then believe that they have this platform to, you know, use it to say whatever the hell they want. And that's how they garner the attention. That's how they get promotions. That's how they get to be on multiple networks. That's how they, you know, get their name out there and get a blue check mark and get to go to the Met Ball and whatever the hell's going on. You know what I mean? It's like, it's, that's the society we're in now. It's when I first got in the league in 2005 and you got in there in 2006, I mean, social media wasn't a thing unless you had a MySpace, and it was all about who was your top five or top 10 if they expanded it, what kind of music you had in the background. And it wasn't about, you know, your social media following, your likes, your, you know, how many views on a page.
You're talking about people having likes and views on a page. I get it. Listen, part of the reason that we're in this industry is because of hot takes. There's a lot of people out there who have hot takes. There's a lot of people out there that I know have been doing this for 20 plus years. I don't respect them. A lot of people out there, I've been doing this for what? 2 months on the air, but I've been doing this for 5 years out of college. There's a lot of people that don't respect me. There's a lot of people out there that just do things for clicks, but guess what? The clicks work. That's the industry we live in today. But at the same time, where are they not justified? Like, honestly, where were they not justified to say after the entire offseason where you decide to give up on your team, you decide to walk away from the franchise, you decide to put Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy in line, you decided to go out and say, I want X, Y, and Z to happen my way. You decided that you did not like where this team's direction was headed, and you decided that you think that you deserve more power. You did all that. Where are we wrong to say that there's not enough criticism to be had? Where are we wrong to say right now, because of where we're sitting in the realm of sports and where we're sitting right now with you as a one-on-one team that in the first half had to wait down to the wire against the Detroit Lions, where are we wrong to criticize? Where is anybody wrong to criticize? And by the way, this isn't just me, a guy who works in sports as a journalist and a guy who's on the radio and, you know, talks into a microphone, because I get it. I'm not the target audience that you're probably talking about in the quote-unquote media, as everyone likes to put it. By the way, there's so many different realms of media. Maybe start getting that straight. There's sports media. There's hot take media. There's political media. There's BS media, which, by the way, probably political media belongs in that category. Long story short, I just don't like it. When you put the media, you're putting us all in the same category. But let me ask you, is Jermichael Finley, the guy who called you out, your former teammate, the media? Or is he an analyst who's seeing how you've regressed from last season to now? Is Bill Cowher the media? Another guy who's called you out? Or is he a Super Bowl winning coach who sees the flaws in your game to where he's allowed to have an opinion? It's not like I'm the one just calling you out. It's not like, you know, Stephen A. Smith is the only one calling you out. It's not like people who work in this industry and make money based off of having hot takes. You know, Cowherd's one. Skip Bayless is one. It's not like they're the only ones calling you out. There's legitimate people who have played with you, been in the NFL, who have been around, that say the same thing. Aaron also had this to say on the Pat McAfee show.
It's not even overreaction Monday or Tuesday anymore. It's overreaction every time a microphone's in your face, every time you have a single shot in the camera and you get to talk to camera, every time you're on a panel. It's who can say the most outlandish things because that's going to give you the most hits. That's the media we live in. That's fine. But at the same time, I still have this show. I have my weekly stuff. I mean, most people, you know, don't use their platform to defend themselves. I don't think I need to defend myself from people who aren't worth spending time on. But I'm always going to give a reminder that listen to the source, you know, of some of these things and be reminded it's often the same people in the same tired rhetoric.
Yeah, maybe it's the same people in the same tired rhetoric, but let's get one thing straight, Aaron. You're saying that you don't want to give anybody attention that doesn't deserve it. You know, these people are kind of attention-grabbing. When you feel into the fire, you get the same thing. You know what I tell people all the time? Like when I'm on Twitter, people are always like, oh, why don't you ever quote tweet and defend somebody on a hot take? Because the best way to shut the hell someone up is by making sure that you don't respond to them. Everybody's looking for a response, including people in this industry. They want to get an opinion from Aaron Rodgers. They got it. Right now, you guys are 1-1, and you're not playing your best football. I'd be a little bit more worried about how you're playing on the field than what people are saying off of it.
Just Saying It with Cole Thompson is back on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Time for Ranks on Ranks on Ranks.
This is the part of the week where I turn my attention away from sports and more so into the fun conversations around just life in general. And ever since the pandemic, I have been busy number one, and number two, I have not gone to the movies. This is the week I am finally going back to the movies. Because of Thursday Night Football, cover the Texans, I will be able to have a free Sunday. And I am going to go see Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. Yep, the Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. I know I'm a terrible Marvel fan for not being able to see it yet, but I've waited this long. So what are the 10 things that I think you are needing to try to buy or at least have a conversation of buying when you're at the movie theaters? These are my top 10 movie snacks of what you need to have when you go to the movies. So let's start off with number 10. For me, it's nachos. Nachos are a weird one because of nachos, they're always good. And don't get me wrong, they're not trying with the nachos. It's basically chips with some melted cheese. That's it. Every once in a while, they'll be able to, you know, throw in maybe some jalapenos. Maybe a few times they'll add in some, some salsa on the side. But it's very basic. But again, it's just something to dip. It's something to chew on. It's something to munch on throughout the time. The only reason why I don't put it higher, is because of the hotness of the cheese. The cheese is the big deal. Like, when you get nachos, you want hot cheese. Am I wrong, Michael?
No, you're right about that.
Yeah. The second that it gets cold, it also gets soggy, and it becomes less enjoyable. So you can't sit through a three-hour movie and, 90 minutes in, dip your cheese. I mean, it's basically chewing on cardboard.
And then a movie theater is cold.
That's what I'm saying. And it's cold inside the movie theater, so it's cold food with a cold atmosphere. You're in a very bad spot, so I can't put it higher because of that. Number 9, Reese's Pieces. I'll give it that one. There is a difference. Reese's Pieces are a difference than anything else because Reese's Pieces, they're basically like Skittles or
They're like milk chocolate M&M.
Well, no. I know what they are. I'm just saying that. But they're like Skittles. They're like Jolly Ranchers. Like, they come in a big bag form. Like, you got to be able to pull them out. But the way that you gotta pull them out is they make noise whenever you pull them out. So whenever you're trying to pour them into your hand, you hear and pour the part of the movie, like Jerry Maguire, you complete just pouring them in your hand.
Right, this part of the movie important. Sorry, peanut butter got my mouth. What?
So they're a lot of candy, but again, it's like eating a peanut butter cup, but they're smaller, so you get to enjoy them a little bit more. With the peanut butter cup, you get to enjoy it in the moment, but it's over really, really fast. So it's one of those things where I think that you get to savor it a little bit more. And I think that they're just around that same level as my numbers. 8 candy, Skittles. Skittles, you taste the rainbow. But what are you really tasting? Because if every single time I eat a Skittle, I taste the same thing. It's just purple, yellow, green, orange, red. Not a bad flavor. Great color choice. I think it really works out for the sense of what you want in a snack. But it's not like it's a great, great candy. It's just like kind of around. Like, I'll enjoy a Skittle. But I'm basically, is it taffy? I mean, like, do you even know what it is?
I don't even know what that is. Like, I just know it's good.
Like, every single time, the one thing that I do that's really weird is I push down on the candies at times to see what the insides look like. And it's like a white substance, like on a hard candy outer shell. So I have no idea what Skittles are, but I mean, you're not wrong. They are a really, really good food. Number 7, Kit Kats. Do you like Kit Kats?
I like Kit Kats. I don't mind them at all, but after a while, a waffle wafer? What is it?
I think it's a waffle wafer. I think that's the way to put it.
After a while, it just doesn't catch my attention no more.
No, but what I will say is that you can break it off into pieces, and that's part of the reason. Break me off a key piece of that Kit Kat bar.
I will get to the movie theater, get a Kit Kat bar, and combine it with there's some movie theaters that have ice cream.
You're about to ruin my next one. But Kit Kat bars, what I like about them is they're chewable, they're kind of fun, they have a little bit of a crunch, but is that crunch too loud? That's the biggest thing. Is don't let people understand, when you're at the movie theater, You got to be quiet. Or are you one of those people who like going to movie theaters and talking to the movie?
I don't talk at the movie. I put my phone on. I put it on silent. I don't even vibrate. I don't want nobody telling me be quiet, turn your phone off, or stuff like that.
800-224-2004 if you want to call in and tell us, is this proper movie theater etiquette? Being able to talk but in a whisper during the movies, is that proper movie theater etiquette? So we'll talk about that. I think Kit Kats are one of those ones where it's like when you break them, they're a little bit loud, and then when you chew on them, it's a little bit crunchier, so it becomes a bit of a problem.
I feel it's just in our head too. Like you're like, oh yeah, God, it's all us. This sounds super loud, but then when you're like, I can't even hear the guy in front of me eating a Kit Kat.
Oh, I mean, like you could hear the guy in front of you not even texting half the time, and you're thinking about your Kit Kat being too loud. Like, am I being too loud, dude? The guy is texting. He has his phone on, you know, loud. Like it's not on even silent. So yeah, I think you're fine. Number six, the dip. So anybody who knows what the so ice cream is like a thing that people do like in movie theaters. I've never been into that, but I will say when I got the dibs, I started understanding why people like ice cream in movie theaters. Because they're basically frozen chocolate, but they're in like little cube form. So it's like basically, you know, like when you get those not Mentos, like the Lifesaver gum. It comes in like that giant square thing.
Yeah,
it's like that, and you pop them in your mouth. Like they're exactly like that. So you can enjoy ice cream throughout the movie theater, but you also have to eat it really fast because it can stay really cold. Because they're smaller, they also stay in their form a little bit longer. So also, inside of a cold movie theater, it's a cold snack, so it's not going to melt as fast. And you can kind of pop them in throughout the movies. You don't have to eat them as fast as you would an ice cream.
And those have like the outer layers, like the little crunch bar.
Yeah, it's basically like a Klondike crunch bar. With like the little bit of caramel in the middle, with a white ice cream center, and on the outside, hard shell. So that comes in for me at number six. Number five is M&M's. Again, M&M's are just like Skittles, but M&M's are chocolate. And I think at least I know what I'm getting with M&M's.
Which M&M's?
Oh, it's a regular. It's a classic.
No peanut?
No peanut. There's too much peanut on this list for me. I can't. Well, why you? Why peanut?
I just like the peanut flavor with chocolate mixture. And then what I do, this is what my fiance told me when we started going to the movies together. We get popcorn, we get a peanut M&M's, and we mix it in with the popcorn.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
All right.
So it's like you get that salty, buttery, chocolatey type of stuff.
So it's sweet and salty.
Yes,
yeah,
pretty much.
It's a sweet and salty. I don't know. I like regular M&M's because here's why. They don't try to hide anything. They're just like, hey, how about have our light blue M&M's? How about have our lavender M&M's? How about have our plain orange M&M's? Oh, you mean just have chocolate with the lavender shell? Okay, great. I'm getting chocolate. I'm eating. I'm happy. I'm good with that. Number four for me is an ice cold icy. There's something about having – yeah, I know. Trust me. I know. But the other
four.
Three,
okay.
I can't put it higher because the final three are like classic movie theater treats, and it's hard for me to go past it. An icy only works in two situations, on a really hot day or in a movie theater. Like, those are the only two times where I actually can feel like I'm actually enjoying an icy. If I have it, like, at a theme park or something like that, or if I have it, like, in the middle of October, like today, it's like 75, it's like 70 degrees in Houston right now. If I go after this and go get an icy, I feel kind of weird doing that.
I feel with 7-Eleven coming back to Houston, we're getting Slurpees now. I feel like it's okay.
I feel like that's the only thing that I will say is that now that 7-Eleven is kind of making its mark, I loved when I was living in San Antonio. They had a 7-Eleven next to my apartment, and Slurpees were great. But like that icy, the one with the polar bear on top, like he's handing you a delectable treat of the Coke or the Cherry Fanta flavor. It only works in certain situations. I remember when I was a little kid, it really worked at Burger King because they had a deal where you could only get the ices at Burger King. And it only worked at movie theater. And to this day, the only times I really get ices on are hot days or when I go to the movie theater.
White cherry ice is the best.
I don't know. It's just something is about the cherry icy that is the best. And it is. And I'll do this. If I'm able to make my own icy, because now movie theaters are so intricate where they let you kind of just pick and choose, I will go mix cherry and Coke together. And I will make a cherry Coke icy. And it is delectable every single time. Number three is just an ice cold Coke. And it has to just be Coke. You can't go with, like, Sprite. You can't go with, like, a with like a Pepsi. You can't go with Mountain Dew or Dr. Pepper. It has to be Coke. Something about Coke coming out of that nozzle paired up with the number one treat, which everyone knows what it is. Everyone knows exactly what it is. Pairing that together is like movie theater like magic. And people across the country say pop. When you talk about pop, you mean Coke. When you talk about it in the South, they say Coke. They mean Coke. They mean everything, but they really mean Coke. Soda to me is Coke. Everything is Coke. So when I hear, go to the movie theaters, gotta get a soda, I'm automatically ordering a Coke. Like, that's the first thing that pops in my mind. And because of it comes through the nozzle, it's not like one of the ones that comes in the bottle, there's a better flavor to it. I don't know why. I like the nozzle gun. I like the nozzle gun more than anything else. So that's why I feel like getting an ice cold Coke at the movie theater is like the right answer. Number two is Sour Patch Kids. Because Sour Patch Kids are like the perfect medium of where you're not too loud because they're gummy and they actually have flavor. When I try the orange Sour Patch Kids, I gag, which is a good thing because it's saying, ugh, I hate the orange flavor Sour Patch Kids. When I try the red flavor, I'm like, oh my God, this is delicious. When I try the blue flavor, you son of a gun, how could you ever steer me in the wrong direction, blue flavor? I love you. Green, yellow, I enjoy the flavors. And more than that, I can taste the different varieties. And they're soft, and they're chewy, and they're sour. First they're sour, then they're sweet. That's why you see the commercials where the little girl gets her pigtails cut off, and then he gives her like a candy bar and sends
us. Or a wig to replace
yeah. Aw, thank you. First they're sour, then they're sweet. Sour Patch Kids, do it. It's a great commercial. And again, it's a grain of everything. You get a little bit sour, you get a little bit sweet, and it's good candy. But number one is popcorn. Number one is popcorn. And I feel like popcorn, the reason it's so much number one, isn't even because of it's actually just, you know, a great treat. It's because of they know how to sell it there. Like, they really do. Hey, do you want to buy this small for $4? Yeah, sure. Do you want to upgrade to an extra large jumbo size mega mother for 75 cents more? Well, you had me at mega super size, and then when you add the mother, it was just so delectable. 75 cents more? Yeah. You get your bang for your buck of popcorn.
And then you get a free refill if you want.
Dude, that's the other thing, is that most places are like, hey, come back. The first one isn't free, but the second taste is free. And then by the time you're done, you feel disgusting. You hate your body. You're like, oh, God, I need to go to the bathroom. I always feel every single day like I am dying after I have popcorn. That's the thing, is I'll eat so much of it, I'll get the free refill every single time.
I will change one thing from your top 10 for me, and that would be the nachos for a hot dog.
I don't understand people who eat hot dogs in movie theaters.
It's just because it's a Nathan's hot dog. It's different. It's juicy. I don't know. It tastes good at the movie theater to me.
So for me, the biggest thing that you can have in a movie theater, like hot dogs are meant at one place, baseball games. Like baseball and hot dogs go together. That's why you have Dollar Dog Night at every single place. And they go together. And I love Dollar Dog Night. But you won't catch me eating a hot dog. And I mean, I'll eat brats. I love me a good brat. But you will never catch me eating a hot dog outside of a baseball game. I do not know how you do it in the movie theater. The other one that I almost included, though, pickles. I do love pickles, and pickles are a great treat. Plus, if you are obsessed with pickle juice like I am, you will suck the pickle juice out and then eat the pickle after.
At least we can agree on something. We don't put pretzels in our top 10.
No, because they're always stale, man. It's every single time you go to the movie theater, they're always stale. We'll close out the hour one of just saying it after this.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
So Michael and I were talking over the break about, you know, our movie theater rant of things that you want. Michael said that there is nothing better than a Mexican Coke. And I don't disagree. I've been to Mexico. I've had the Coke there. It's very good. But he then was like, what's the one thing that I love when I was in Mexico? And I said, horchata. And make the sound you just made.
What's it? Horchata?
No.
Yes, I need one.
800-224-2004. Tell us what your favorite Mexican treat is that you would love to decide. Horchata is mine. But you know what else is my favorite thing to do? watch teams that are supposed to be bad be great in baseball, and there's no team better that defines that category than the Tampa Bay Rays, who officially clinched the first AL spot in the postseason with a 7-1 victory on Wednesday afternoon against the Toronto Blue Jays. Guys, how does Tampa Bay keep doing this? Every single year, we say, oh, yeah, you know, Tampa Bay's going to take a step back. Oh, yeah, Tampa Bay is not going to last. They're not going to be around that much longer. They're always going to fall off the path because they don't have the salary. They don't have the money. They don't have the funds. They don't bring in the superstar top talent. And every single year, it doesn't matter. They play small ball. They win with pitching. They win with runners in scoring position. They're just a good overall team, and they're a good field team. They're exactly what you want to root for every single week. It's hard for me right now to deny that they're playing the best baseball out of every team out there. Because of the Astros, they're very good offensively. I still worry about their bullpen. I definitely worry about the middle of the reliever section for the Chicago White Sox. Boston, I don't think, has great pitching. New York, I think, is still missing a few bats. Oakland, they're just kind of around. And Seattle is definitely a playoff pretender, in my opinion. Ultimately, when I look at this team in Tampa Bay, they may once again have the easiest path to get back to the postseason and easily get back to the World Series. If I'm a betting man, I may be taking the odds on the Rays going into the playoffs.